Book of Daniel, please, chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, please, and verse 1.
Very important chapter here. Hardly know what I want to cut out in reading this chapter, but we'll look at chapter 2 of the book of Daniel.
And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams whereby his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. And the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asketh such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. It is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry, very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth, that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show him unto the king the interpretation. Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah, and that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, soothsayers, show unto the king? That there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes, that they shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image, his head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thigh of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet, part of iron, part of clay. Thou sawest, though a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff from the summer's threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. We will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces, and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, a part of potter's clay, and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, whereas much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so shall the kingdom be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, and the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation of sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is, that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel requested of the king, and he sent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon that Daniel sat in the gate of the king. God will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Now you can see that we're read tonight about this aspect, this part of the chart here, the gold, silver, the brass, the iron, and then the feet down here of iron and clay. Now the king had a dream, but he said he couldn't recall the dream. Now it's thought that he probably did know the dream, but he didn't want to tell his wise men what the dream was. He wanted them to tell him the dream and the interpretation of his dream. Well, these men, although they were known as the wise men of Babylon, and we mentioned yesterday about the magicians and so on, but what they depended on was magic or astrology, the reading of the stars, or philosophy in the case of the Chaldeans, the wise men of the land, of which Daniel and his friends have belonged. None of these men could come up with the dream or the interpretation of the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And you know, the king at Babylon was a very severe man. Whom he would he slew? Whom he would he set up? And whom he would he put down? And in his fury, he said, he would slay all these men because they could not come up with the dream, or the interpretation of the dream, and their houses are just left, a dunghill. Well, remember, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was a heathen king, and life didn't mean much to him. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was a heathen king, and life didn't mean much to him, and he was going to take the wisest of his men, of his kingdom, and just slay them. Quickly, like, as it were, do away with them quickly. But you know, these wise men, they pleaded for their lives. And they were in earnest about this matter, said there's nobody that dwells in flesh could ever have come up with your dream or the interpretation of a dream they don't know anything about. It's what you're asking is only with God could ever do such a thing. You're asking for the impossible. Well, you know, with God, all things are possible. Well, you know, there was a man in the kingdom. Remember this man, Daniel. Daniel, the man of God. Daniel, the man of prayer. Well, you know, Daniel said he would come up with the interpretation, but he couldn't understand why the haste. And so he pleaded for time. And you know, he had a purpose, what he was going to do at that time. And he took, and he called his companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he brought them into the house. And he told them the matter. And then those four, they went to God in prayer. And you know, they made it a real matter of prayer, that God would tell them what the dream was, and give to them the interpretation of the dream, that the lives of these wise men might be spared, and the king might know what the message that God had for him, might be told that message. Well, you know, Daniel, as we know of Daniel, was a man of prayer. You know, a man of prayer like Daniel was, he knew his God so intimately, and he called upon God in his need, and God just displayed before him, as it were, the dream and the interpretation of that dream. Well, the wonderful thing to take time to pray. It's a wonderful thing to make known to God what the burden of your soul is. And you know, I believe that God today still answers prayer. And I am thankful to say that there have been people that come to me and they say, you know, I'm praying for your family. I'm praying for you, and I pray for you every day. And I say, thank you very much. I sure appreciate that. You know, I like to be able to say, you know, I believe you're getting answers to your prayers. I can see things are happening now that your prayers are being answered. And I appreciate you continuing in prayer. And so, even to this day, our God hears and he answers prayers, even as he did in the days of Daniel. Now you know, this was a deep, dark secret. What this man Nebuchadnezzar, what his dream was. It was unknown what the dream was. Only in the Word God knew. It was a secret. Now, who is going to find out what that secret was? Well, the secret of the Lord is the men that fear him. And Daniel, he really didn't fear the king in the same way that these other wise men feared the king for their life. But Daniel feared God. And he went to God in prayer. And God revealed the secret to Daniel.
Well, you know, you and I suppose,
that was revealed to us as it was to Daniel. We would have been in haste to go to the king.
But you know, before Daniel goes, we read about his prayer. And what he speaks about here in this prayer is so very interesting here.
And he commends God in speaking. He says, he changes the times and the seasons. He giveth wisdom unto the wise. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in darkness. And light dwelleth of him. And so on. The very, very exaltation of the things that God changes. The things that God knows. And the things that God does. And Daniel in his praise and adoration and thanksgiving to God for revealing the secret unto him. Daniel received that secret.
Now,
Daniel revealed the secret, and you know, he was called in to Arioch, and he took him over to the, and he said, now, all right, I know the dream, and I know the interpretation of the dream. So, Daniel was brought in before the king. We found a man in the kingdom that can tell you the dream and the interpretation thereof. Well, let's hear it. But you know, Daniel was able to tell this man the dream. Now you know, God speaketh once, yea twice, a man perceiveth it not, in a vision of the night, in a dream, or in a vision of the night. Why is the way God speaks? Why in Job? Why Job is here, he's terrified by dreams and visions of the night. Well, I believe that God really spoke in those days by dreams, and so much so that maybe some of the men would rather not speak for fear God would speak to them with a dream. And here's the case now. Here is a dream that was that upset this king to know what the dream was and the interpretation. And Daniel said, here's your dream. You dream about a man. And the man was of a great stature, head of gold, arms and breast of silver, brass thighs, iron legs, and his feet were of iron mixed with clay. Now that's what your dream was. You had a dream about a man. Now you know, a dream. You ever dream? What do you dream about? I believe that scientists claim that we dream every night. Every night we dream. Now, but we're not always able to recall the dream. We often dream just before we wake up. And maybe the dream lasted a very short time. Although we think it maybe was a long dream. But we just wake up during that, just before the dream ends, there's such a very brief period of time. And you know, as we all dream, man, what do we dream about? What do you dream about? What do I dream about? Well, you know, I'll tell you what to dream about. First of all, I'll tell you that dreams come by the multitude of business. And we dream about the things that we're occupied with. What occupies your mind? That's what you'll likely dream about during the hours of the night. Now I believe this man, Nebuchadnezzar, had been down to Egypt and conquered Egypt. And he came back a victorious. Now you know what he saw in Egypt? He saw down in Egypt statues. And he saw these great statues that were carved out of stone of great men. And you know, that was on his mind. I've defeated Egypt. I'm a great man. Remember those statues. And that's what he dreamt about that night, was a great, huge man. Not carved in stone. Not made of flesh and bone. But he had a dream of a metallic man. A man made of metal. And what would all that mean? A man made of metal. Very dreams of this man. And the height, why it was so gigantic. A giant of a man in this dream. Well, you know, he wondered, what would he wonder about? It's all separate parts. Head is one metal. The breasts and arms another. Why, it's all different parts. And yet it's all together as though it was one man. And you know, he would love to know, what does this all mean? Is there any meaning to it at all? Well, Daniel goes, proceeds to tell this man about what this is all about. You know, this dream covers a period of 2,500 years. The dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. This man, over there at the top of the gold, right down to the bottom here, and there's a space of time in here, but really, it covers a period of time of about 2,500 years. It's known as the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles. When the Gentiles were going to take over rule and have dominion over all the earth. Now in Deuteronomy 32, it's spelled out there really that the Hebrews, the Jewish nation, would rule all the earth. But, remember how they fell? They despised the word of God. They were idolaters in the land. God brought them out into Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, and they were going to serve there for 70 years. When they went back after the captivity, they gave up idolatry. And from that day to this, they've always worshipped just the one God. But they were taken in captivity, and from that time, King Nebuchadnezzar took over. That begins the times of the Gentiles. It goes right on until the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come out from heaven and bring an end to this and set up his own kingdom, a period of 2,500 years. Now, what we have in this image, dream, some of it was prophesied as what was going to take place. Some of that prophecy has already been fulfilled, and others are still to be fulfilled. Now, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, God has given you a kingdom. Jeremiah spoke to Nebuchadnezzar as God's servant. God raised him up, gave him a kingdom, and called him a servant of God. Well, thou art this head of gold. Now, Babylon, there you are, the head of gold. After you will follow another kingdom, inferior to yours, then following that another one of brass, another one inferior again, and then down to the iron. Now when you think of this image here, you look down from the head down, you know that gold is the most precious of all metals. The most precious metal there is gold. In the days of Nebuchadnezzar, it was very, very precious, and there seems that there was plenty of gold around at that time. But when you change kingdoms over to the next kingdom, it's silver. Now that silver is not near as valuable as gold, but it is more valuable than the brass. So as you come down the image, you'll see the value is decreasing. Right down to the iron, and the iron mixed with clay. The diminishing value of the metals shows the deterioration of the kingdoms that are to follow Nebuchadnezzar. this as well, we find that the weight of gold, gold weighs far more than silver. And silver is much more heavier than the brass. And brass is heavier than the iron. And then of the iron and the clay. And so you can see, if that be the case, this image is top heavy. The heaviest part is on the top, the gold. And now, as you eye this image as well, you will notice that gold is a much softer metal than silver, and silver is softer than brass, and brass is softer than iron. Now, when you think of a gold there, oh, precious it is, heavy and very soft, I understand you can take an ounce of gold and just put it into a thread, like a hair, and it'll stretch for a mile. Why, it's so soft. And so, there she goes. Well, it can be used very, very nicely in computer chips and so on, because it is so fine, and to carry the signal over that fine thread of, because of its softness. It's very, very nicely in computer chips and so on, because it is so fine, and to carry the signal over that fine thread of, because of its softness. Now, when we look at these various kingdoms, we would think that Babylon would have been the hardest and most difficult of all kingdoms that there would ever be, because you can see how Nebuchadnezzar was furious and ready to destroy the wise man just so quickly. You see? Well, there was a reason for that. You see, this man, Nebuchadnezzar, was a dictator. He was a dictator. He had full rule over Babylon completely. Ever, he had all the say. And he didn't have to consult anyone. He just laid down the law, and that was it. A dictator. Whom he would he slew, whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. Why, he just did as he pleased. Not that he should have. God gave him the kingdom, and he should have honored God in that. But you know, he was a man lifted up with pride. That's what this image that you see on this chart tonight, it pictures for us a man in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 3, where it says, man's judgment. It really means man's day. The times of the Gentiles is man's day. And that's when man set them up as the deification of man. Well, what you have in the humanism? Why, we don't need any God. I'm my own God. I don't need anything. I don't need to depend on anyone. And that's what you have in this deification of man, where man stays in the times of the Gentiles, and Dan and this man living in the desert ruled as though he were God. And there's no need of God, whatever. Everything was just all set. He wanted, and he was in charge of all. And so it, so this is the way this Nebuchadnezzar ruled in the kingdom. Set it up. When you have your, when you think of the, how do we know what the silver represents? The silver. Well, we have over here the Medes and the Persians. Well, you know, you'd have to go to chapter 5 of Daniel, where it says, that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Mede took the kingdom. Here you have an indication there that the kingdom was taken by Darius the Mede. Although you read in Isaiah 45 that God raised up Cyrus the Persian as well. And so the two companies come together, the Medes and the Persians. And you have that here. Now you have it again in Daniel chapter 8. The ram with the two horns are the empire, the Medes and the Persians. Then when you come down to the brass side, who are these? Who are these people? Well, you look over again at chapter 8, and you find that the he-goat is the king of Greece. And so you can see that Daniel's looking into the future, with this metallic mask to tell Nebuchadnezzar, while you're the head of fools, you're responsible for a government now, but remember, it's not going to last. After you fall as another kingdom, the Medes and the Persians are going to take over, and you need to say, impossible, never, we'll never fall. As God says, you're going to fall, and the Medes and Persians will take over. And then Daniel says, and after that, the Greeks will take over, and they won't last either. Following them, the Roman Empire will take over. Now you know, friends, the changing of these empires, and Daniel shows that to this king, what's going to take place. You know, it all happened just exactly as Daniel saw in this dream, even the interpretation of this dream to this king. You know, those silver thighs there, Medes and the Persians, you can see that, that the two arms would possibly represent the Medes and the Persians that linked up together to take over a kingdom and to rule the world. Why, Babylon was such a stable government in that it was a fortress that you might say no one would attempt to attack. As you see, Nebuchadnezzar really wasn't a warrior. He wasn't a soldier type of man. Why, he was more of a builder and builder. And so he built the seven wonders of the world and all the different things that he had in there, but he wasn't really a fighting man. But he lost the kingdom to the Medes and the Persians. Now, as I mentioned, that Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar was a dictatorship. And so this thing was set up. But you know, with the Medes and the Persians, that wasn't a dictatorship. That was far different. Why, it was run by hereditary aristocracy. People that inherited, and they took over and run the land. And you know, they didn't have the kings of the Medes and the Persians. They had power, but they didn't have the same power put into their hands as was in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. That is, the king could not just do as he wished to do. You'll take in the case of Daniel chapter 6, when these men got together and they set a trap for Daniel about staying away for 30 days. Well, Daniel kept on praying, and then they caught him and caught him. Now Daniel has to go to the den of lions. And you know, the king, Darius the king, he wanted to stop all that. He wanted it so that his friend Daniel would not have to spend the night with the lions. But you know, he had no power. He didn't have the power to stop the progress of that, the orders of that den of lions. Why? The power was not his hand. These men said, look, the law of the Medes and the Persians, it doesn't change. It can't be changed. You sign the writing. Well, this Darius, you see, he was very upset. And he was saddened. And he could hardly rest at all. But you know, he commended Daniel that God would look after him. And so he did. You know, the weakness was in the hand of Darius. And he couldn't just do as he pleased. And you know as well today and the kings of the land. Why? They're in a position of royalty or in a position of majestic power and so on. But really, what power does the king or the queen have throughout the land? Why, they just have to put their signature to okay something that's already been decided on. And so as you come down that metallic ladder, you see that the grip is not in the hand of the king anymore. And so you have it in the Greek Empire. Why, it was a military aristocracy. It was the army, like an army that ran the country. And you know, that army that ran the country under Alexander the Great was only as successful as the ambition of its leaders. If they wanted to lay back, so they lay back. So they were defeated as well. But you see now, under the military, we can call it today, under the military. So, and then you have, when you come down to the Roman Empire, Roman Empire professed that the word to be elected senate, or cast your vote, elect us. And so you have then the thought of a democracy. And so that would be a good thing, you think, a democracy. A rule by the people, by casting their vote. So when you come down to the feet of the iron and the clay, you find there you have a social democracy. Why, you just don't have the iron, but you have the iron and clay bits. And you try to put socialism together with democracy, and it doesn't land. It doesn't stick together. And so you have this top-heavy image of a man settled on the feet of iron and clay that doesn't mix. Remember, the politics of man is not going to stand. It's going to come down. It's going to be brought to an end. And very, very soon. And so, this image then, of a man with a golden head, if you can measure, and then the leaves of the Persian, and then the Greek, and then the Roman Empire. Well, you know, the leaves of the Persian eventually defeated the Babylonian Empire. Then the Greeks, they defeated the leaves of the Persian. But you know, when this dream was told to Nebuchadnezzar, the Greeks were really just a little village, or a few scattered villages. Why, they were hardly recognized as a nation, so small. But in years to come, why, they're able to get an army up to defeat the mass army of the Medes and the Persians in years to come. But at the time, they were almost an unknown people. And yet there they are mentioned as a brat in the brat. A time to come. Well, the Greeks under Alexander the Great defeated the Medes and the Persians. And the Romans defeated the Greeks. Now the Roman Empire is in the iron. And you'll notice in verse 40 there, 42, verse 39 maybe there, that in one verse you get the mention of pretty well the first three kingdoms are just one after the other spoken of. Then it spends about three verses on the Roman Empire. The concentration is on the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire here is the iron lace here. And then the iron and the clay. Now the iron lace here, it divides itself in two. Western and Eastern side. Now as you come down this image, you'll see that it weakens. Then you can show the king that the politics of the Gentiles is going to weaken as you come down. And sort of it divides into like two channels or the two legs. There's a weakness there. Well, as time goes on, it comes to the feet. And there again, it divides itself into ten toes. And there again, it's weakness. Now you know, people speak about, well, things are getting better, you know. Things are improving, you know. In what way are they improving? Things are getting waxing worse and worse all the time. And you can see the deterioration that comes in. Remember? Gold, silver, brass. You know that the iron will corrode and rust. The brass is not likely to, or the silver, or the iron, or the gold. Why? It won't perish. But you'll find the corroding and the rusting is in the iron. The deterioration comes in, down here. Now, under the iron here, in the legs, the Roman Empire was the Iron Age. Very, very severe. In the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the days of the Apostle John, in the Revelation, terrible times under Nero, and the Roman Empire, when people were burned in the street and thrown to the lion. Very, very severe. Far worse than the Greeks or the Medes and the Persians or the Babylonians. Why, they ruled with an iron fist. And very, very severe. You know, the Roman Empire was never defeated. Never defeated. In other words, this period here, the dispensation of the grace of God, going on now for almost 2,000 years. And this part of the feat of the iron and clay has never been fulfilled. Never a time in history has that ever shown up where the feat of the iron and clay. Why, it all stopped here. And for 2,000 years, we have the dispensation of the grace of God. The church age, when God stops the clock and the word, and brings in a time of salvation, whereby the gospel can be preached, and then a woman can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. And friends, this is the day of opportunity. Why, it's the time when the Lord Jesus Christ came out from heaven, born of a virgin, tabernacled among men, and did no sin, went to the cross, and bare our sin in his own body on the tree. And now in this day of grace, we can preach the glorious gospel of the blessed God, that men and women might believe and be saved. Now, that's all important, because things are going to change here. The Lord Jesus Christ returns. At the end of the church period, then we will see the formation here of the ten toes, the feet of iron and clay. Now there are lots of indications in the world right now about the Federated States of Europe. Winston Churchill, upon retiring, was going to spend his time, the major part of his time, to have the United States of Europe bring together the countries of Europe into one. And so they set up the European Common Market and NATO, bringing countries together. And now, as much as at times the countries change in numbers, maybe 10 at a time, maybe 11 or 12, whatever. But you see how it makes up a variety of kings. And you have that over here. Over here are these ten horns. They have a variety of kings set up. And that's going to be, I believe, the revived Roman Empire. Which makes it superior. Now there are indications that it's forming over there in the Belgian computer. One thing after another being set up and kept out of sight, as it were. But the formation, you might say, is all there. Now what we're waiting for is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Yet in Christ arise first. We were to arrive and remain, shall be caught up together, meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, there's another kingdom that Daniel spoke of that was in the dream. And Daniel spoke. And he says there's a stone cut out without hands. And it comes out of heaven. And it touches the feet of this image. A stone cut out without hands. Now you can read from Genesis to Revelation as to what the stone might be, or the rock might be. And I'm sure you will conclude that the stone is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the days of Moses, they needed water, they struck the rock, and water gushed out. The rock, that rock was Christ. Now remember, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Are you on the rock, Christ Jesus? Remember, rock of ages, left for me, let me hide myself in thee. Then, the Lord Jesus Christ is the rock. He's the stone which the builders rejected. The same has become the head of the corner. Now, this stone is going to come out from heaven. cut out without hands. And it's going to come and strike the feet of this image. And the whole thing is going to come down. That'll bring an end to Gentile politics and rule, and it'll fall completely over. How heavy it comes down. Well, you know, you can hardly imagine it just going into powder, dust and powder, like the summer threatened floor. But that's what the Bible says happens. When the gold hits, and the silver hits, and the brass and iron, it just becomes like powder. Dust. On the summer threatened floor. When that rock strikes, it just grinds the powder. Oh, friends, that rock is Christ. That has never happened as yet. It didn't happen when the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time. When he came the first time, he came to seek and to save. But when he comes in the future days, it'll become to judge and to rule and to reign. Now you can turn to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15 and you'll see that the rider on the white horse and the sword in his boat and the armies of heaven are coming out and attack the nations of the world. That's what you have here in this stone cut out without hands coming. And it just simply touches the feet. And down it comes and snatches it into another ring. Now, in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 44, it says, now, whosoever shall fall upon this rock shall be broken. That is, when a person is convicted of their sin, and they fall upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and were face down, they trust in Christ, they fall on the rock, in weakness, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the real personal Savior. Whosoever shall fall upon this rock shall be broken. They'll have a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, will the Lord not despise. God will take them up and save them by his marvelous grace. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be cut down with a sword. Why, and whosoever this rock shall fall, it will grind them to powder. Grind them to powder. He says, remember, this is the day of grace. And the day of judgment is fast approaching. Oh, what manner of men ought we to be in these last and closing days? And you know, as much as this image is ground to powder, why the stone that touches the feet, why it develops and expands into a great mountain and it fills the whole earth. You know what this is? This is the kingdom that'll never pass away. It's the kingdom of God. And it fills the whole world. And the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign from the rivers to the ends of the earth. Will you reign with him? Will you reign with him? Remember, let the man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He must be born again to be in this kingdom. To rule and reign with our Lord Jesus Christ forever and forever. What a blessed prospect awaits every believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, friends, you could go back to the history books and trace it back as to those governments and kings and rulers, and you'll see it was fulfilled exactly as prophesied in the book of Daniel. Now the king was very pleased with what Daniel had spoken, even though he was told his kingdom was going to come to an end, you know, he wanted to honor Daniel. And he wanted to, as it were, cast himself down before Daniel. But really, it was before Daniel's God. He must be the God that's worshipped, for there's none like him, and never could be, like the God of Daniel, God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know, that's what people need to come to realize, that there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, that gave himself a ransom for all. Oh, that we might see that. I said, now, the king, in his wisdom, made Daniel a great man. And he made him a ruler over all the land of Babylon. He is set up as the ruler over all the land of Babylon. And Daniel, he brings in his companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and gives them an honorable place in the kingdom as well. Now you know, as well as I do, if Daniel in chapter 1 had purpose in his heart not to defile himself with the king's feet, if he had backed off, why, we never would have heard from Daniel again. He would have passed out and never heard from again. But Daniel stood up for his conviction, and being a man of courage, he said that he would not defile himself with the king's feet. And you know, he went on to be revered and an honored man, a servant of the Most High God. And you know, that great secret was revealed to Daniel that day. Well, you know,